Good morning. Welcome everyone here this morning. It's another summer Florida day, I think, and we've been blessed with that, with another one. There is a song that I would like to sing at the end here. I think it's number 367 in the church hymnal. No, not that one. No. I was running into a little bit of a dilemma this morning. I had a topic that I was wanting to use, and so I've been studying it, and it just didn't come together. Did not come together at all. And I don't know if you ever had that, but there's a feeling of desperation that goes when the time, when the clock keeps going, and you just things aren't working out. But God is faithful, and we switched gears at the last minute. So. But yeah, this is a message that I had preached before, not here, but it's one that I had preached before. And looking at our hearts, looking at this kingdom that we are living in, this life that we are living in, you can turn to Matthew 5, verse 8. There's a sermon, or it's an excerpt from one of the sermons that Jesus preached. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And I think it's just as true today as it was then. In Matthew 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What comes to your mind when you think of being pure in heart? And how important is the heart? You know, I don't know. In a physical heart is about the size of your two fists put together like this, they say. I've never seen a human heart. But it's about this big, or at least mine would be about this big. And life expectancy around 70 years, and average beats per minute 60 to 70. Some people are a little higher and some people are a little lower. But 70 years, your heart is designed to beat about 2 billion times. And that's a lot of mileage for an organ, right? Just, it's a muscle. The heart is a muscle, and it just goes all the time. You don't even have to think about it. They call it an involuntary muscle because it means that the heart just pumps. Just very steadily. And the heart is something that it's one of the most important organs in your body, the physical heart. It is the pump that pumps blood, and blood is life-giving, the life-giving, what do you call it? It's kind of like these supply trains in a mine. They just carry supplies all around, you know, when it pumps blood out through the arteries, takes fresh oxygen out, takes it out to your extremities, out to your fingers, and the red blood cells carry the oxygen, the white blood cells, they fight the infection. It's always looking out for those things that, for infections. The white blood cells, they go along on this train. Every time the heart beats, it puts another spurt or another whatever, another car out, and you have, it sends out these white blood cells, and the white blood cells, they go out there, and they're looking for any signs of infection that might be contaminating. And as they make their circle, you know, they come back. They get spent. You know, the white blood cells get spent, the red blood cells get spent. And have you ever noticed that the blood going in an artery from the heart is bright red? But then in your veins, it's coming back, it's really dark. Well, the really dark blood is blood that is spent. It doesn't have any, it may have a little bit, but it's spent. So as it's coming back, the veins carry it back on the return trip, comes back to the heart, or back through the lungs, and it gets oxygen put back into it, and the heart, whatever, I don't understand how it all works, but it goes through your liver. Your liver filters out a lot of the impurities that come there, and comes back up and gets another fresh supply of oxygen, and it goes back through the arteries again, carrying a fresh supply, just around and around and around. 2 billion times in 70 years. It's amazing. But that's the physical heart. And if something gets contaminated there, sometimes you have this thing called blood poisoning. That's a bad deal. Because blood poisoning is a contaminant that goes in there, and it can come around. It can damage your heart. There's other things that can damage your heart too. Eating at McDonald's too often is one thing that's not good for you. Or whatever. I mean, I just picked on McDonald's, but just about every fast food joint, every greasy joint, there's just a lot of things that are not good for you. You get cholesterol in there, in your arteries, and cholesterol is just, I don't know. It's a buildup that just makes it so there's less blood that can flow through, and your heart has to work harder to push it through, and if it's all blocked, then you've got a problem. If your artery is all blocked with contaminated cholesterol, you've got a problem because you can't get that life-giving blood out to your where it needs to go. So that's a physical. Those are physical impurities or purities, whatever that you would say. But when you think of pure in heart, what qualities do you associate with that? We're talking in a spiritual sense. So we have, you know, we have red blood cells, spiritual red blood cells of honesty and integrity, transparency and humility. There's encouragement. You know, that's an uplifting, kind of like oxygen in your blood. Of course, and you have some of these white blood cells sometimes in the body too, in a collective body, that are not quite so fun, not quite so uplifting maybe as encouragement. You have some maybe rebukes. That could be more of a white blood cell, but it's still necessary to fight infection maybe. Those are a purifying agent. But a quality for someone that's pure in heart, sincerity and love and unselfishness. And you could make a list. You could add to the list if you want. There's a lot of qualities that go with someone that's pure in heart. And then what comes to your mind when you think of contamination or the opposite of pure in heart? And the Bible uses some words, and they're maybe not readily apparent what they might mean, but one contaminant in a heart is iniquity. And you know what? The Bible uses iniquity as that. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, I think that Job says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Or maybe that's in Psalms. I don't quite remember right off. But iniquity is that it's a little bit like cholesterol. It can come in and you don't even think about it. But it's a little bit twisted, a little bit perverse, a little bit gives a just it's a perversion a little. Iniquity is perversion in one shape or another. Then there's guile. And guile would have the thought of maybe putting on a front where we want people to think well of us, where we're not so good inside. We might have iniquity inside. We might have that inside, but guile wouldn't want, we want people to think well of us, or we want others to feel good about themselves, and we give them a false impression of love when we just make them think something else. It's kind of like flattery too. Flattery is another one. Flattery and guile maybe could be the same thing, maybe. But we want other people, we put on a front to get along with others or make them feel well when we really don't like them. Froward is another thing that goes in our heart, or can be in our heart. Froward is, twisted, obnoxious, whatever. Guile, iniquity is like perversity or depravity, moral evil. Those are dictionary definitions. Guile is trickery, deceit, or fraud. And flattery would be false praise, smooth talking, and it's usually used to try to get someone. Flattery is usually used to manipulate other people, to get them to do something that you want them to do for you, to be a benefit to you. Yeah, you make them feel good, so they do what you want them to do. And froward is just crooked, twisted, distorted, and perverted. It doesn't take much looking to look out in society and see the frowardness or the crookedness or the perversion, distortedness of mankind. It doesn't take long. And in the life, in our culture, some of that is easy for us. Some of that is easy to rub off onto us. And I think where the danger comes a lot of times for us is that we try to Christianize some activities that should not be Christianized. Maybe that's too big of a, maybe don't follow the logic there. But sometimes we can we try to stay on the narrow road as close to the broad road as we can. We try to mix the two, maybe. And Jesus says, not everyone, and this is Matthew 7:21, but not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into that kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father continually. The word doeth means a continual action. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that's somewhat of an illustration of maybe merging two things. You know, we prophesy, we do some of the Christian actions, but we also have done our own thing along the way. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." That's in 1 Corinthians 6:9. In Galatians 5:21, these are things that are not pure in heart. You have envyings, which it's easy for us to do, and murders, which is not easy for us to do. There's drunkenness and revelings and such like, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And in Revelations 21:27, there shall in no wise enter into the into heaven anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. These would be descriptions of things that would be impure, iniquity or frowardness or flattery, guile, deceit. And we go back to Matthew 5, verse 8, where it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Wouldn't the opposite be the impure in heart you could say, "Cursed are the impure in heart, for they shall not see God"? Would be the opposite effect of that. And who are the pure in heart? I don't want to send people on a guilt trip by talking about this, but I do want us to think. I think it's good for us to think. And it's good for us to make some course corrections in our life sometimes. Sometimes we can get off course a little bit. And we can, as we go through this life, this journey of life, we find ourselves in a spiritual desert. Have you ever felt that way? Where you feel in a spiritual desert? And I've felt that way. And it seems like, well, it doesn't always feel like there's a rhyme or a reason for it. But sometimes there are some reasons if we think. And it's good to do some course corrections. But the pure in heart are those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins can be taken away and cleansed. Our sins are cleansed. And we were unclean. But now, and like 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, "Such were some of you unclean. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." There's a cleansing there to be pure in heart. Hebrews 10:22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Cleansing. You know, the God's word, the blood of Christ, is cleansing. And it can put new life into our body, into our spiritual body. It's like our blood needs to circulate for the life to go through. We need to be circulating, need to have God's word and that cleansing action circulating through our life as well. And we receive as it comes down. The life, and we send our spent baggage back up, and he takes it back up and cleanses it and sends it back. It's new life. It's a circulation. Our sins have been forgiven through faith. And there's in Revelations 1:5, it just another verse there talks about it. Excuse me. It just says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead," he's a resurrected Christ, "and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." The pure in heart are those whose sins have been forgiven through faith. The pure in heart are those who follow Christ's commands, who doeth righteousness, ongoing. It's an ongoing thing. John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest or make myself known to him." The pure in heart are those whose names are in the book of life. In the book of life. And to have your name in the book of life, it still takes that cleansing action, the continual doing of his commandments and his will, and being willing to correct course as we go along. All of us are going to come short of God's will at some point or another. And the difference there is what we're going to do about it. That's the difference. You know, if we are too proud to correct course, we can just keep on adding to those iniquities in our heart. How do we become pure in heart? I might have gotten ahead of myself a little bit here. But how do we become pure in heart? And it's by faith, accepting Christ's atonement and having him wash our sins away. It's in love, doing his commandments. So we receive by faith. We act through love. And that's the commandment that he sent out for us. You know, there's a book called The Kingdom That Turned the World Upside Down, or you've heard about the upside down kingdom. Well, you remember how the disciples kept having these arguments about who would be the greatest, who would be the greatest. You know, when this kingdom comes, who's going to be the greatest? And Peter says, "I'm going to be the greatest." And Andrew says, "No, I'm going to be the greatest. I'll be greater than you." And you know, they just keep bumping each other, and they want to stand on top of each other and be greater. And Jesus says that whosoever will be great, let him be the servant. That's my own words there. So if you want to be great, the greater you want to be, it's good to be great, but the greater you want to be, the more servant, the more servant oriented, the more humble, the less you want to be great. And in other words, it's just opposite of what you would think. So in the world's kingdom, you have a pyramid and you climb to the top, and there's just a couple people up there. But in Jesus, he said, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." And he just turns it upside down. So if you want to be great, let him be your servant. Principles of living pure in heart. Psalm 101:1-8. You can turn to that one if you'd like. Psalm 101:1-8. Psalms is an interesting, has some interesting thoughts there. It was written before the Holy Spirit was given to the church. And a lot of it is written as the yearning of people's hearts. It's the yearning, in the sober moments, they write down their desires, their thoughts, what they would like to do. With the Holy Spirit, we have the power to do this. And they did too, but they didn't have access to the Holy Spirit like we have. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, think guile here, or flattery. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. You know, the principles of a pure heart. Number one, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes and my ears. We need to guard what we see and what we hear. What we see and what we hear influences what we think. That's why we need to guard it. Because what we process inside, what we take in, influences what we think. How we think influences how we act. And how we act, or what we do, determines our destiny. It's kind of a cycle. It goes around. So we need, it includes our choice of books, or newspapers, websites, music, whatever. And you can go down the list. But we need to also guard against situations that put us into unnecessary temptations. Number two, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will go through life with a perfect heart, as much as possible. Watch our actions at all times and be sensitive to other people's feelings. It's hard to be sensitive to other people's feelings if we are wrapped in our own thing. Last Sunday's message, Am I Selfish, was a good illustration of that. It's hard to be sensitive to other people's needs and other people's feelings if we're wrapped in ourselves. We need to be quick to encourage and lift others up. Be sincere and genuine, and exercise humility and grace. You know, be quick to encourage and lift others up. Sometimes ourselves gets in the way, and we have a hard time appreciating some people because, well, they just, I don't know, they just don't think the way I do. They don't get me. They just don't think the way I do. So I have a hard time appreciating them. But really, if you break it all down, everybody in this room, well, everybody in this world, has a need to be loved and appreciated. And there's probably something that can be loved and appreciated about everybody, no matter where they are in their journey in life. And that's something that was illustrated in a group of students one time wanted to illustrate this point. And their teacher school's out now, so you don't have to try it now. But they're half of them, or a group of them, with body language and just, you know, little things. They made their teacher feel underappreciated, the professor, whoever it was. They just made him feel underappreciated and just kind of leave me alone at actions. And the other half did the opposite. And it was planned out ahead of time, except the professor didn't know it. And so as they discovered that the professor would spend most of his time on the one side of the room and as little as possible on the other side of the room. And that's kind of how we are. I mean, we like to be around people that we feel love and appreciation from. A froward heart shall not be part of me. It's another principle. Like we said earlier, froward means crooked, distorted, and twisted. No one likes to deal with crooks. No one likes to deal with crooks or people whose integrity is elastic. Let's be honest and above board in everything we do. Be fair. Be genuine. And keep our thoughts pure. Now, Jesus says in Mark 7:21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, and covetousness, wickedness, blasphemy, pride. All these things, all these evil things, come from within and defile the man." Those are things from that are impure in the heart. "I will have no part in running others down." This is just going through the Psalm 101 here. "We'll have no part as a principle in keeping a pure heart." You know, the heart is deceitful. And if we're honest with ourselves, many times when discussing the faults of others, there's a bit of pride involved. And we can become a little bit like the Pharisee. We don't actually pray this prayer that we thank God we're not like those people, but we have a real concern for him, so we like to discuss the concern. But many times there is a bit of pride involved, possibly in the form of running someone down to lift ourselves up. And it's usually done, if you analyze it real close, by recounting the situation in such a way that we ourselves are cast in a good light and the other people are the ones with the bad judgment. Or at least if I analyze my own cycle of gossip mongering, that's how it is. Can be. Sometimes true, and sometimes it's not, that we had the good judgment and they had the bad, but not all the time. Possibly also in the form of spreading the news of others' failures for the sake of being the first to tell. And of course, we ask for prayers if we think about it. Don't believe everything you hear. Give others the benefit of the doubt. And another thing in maintaining a pure heart is to fellowship with faithful believers. You know, there's something about surrounding yourself with close friends or with a church family that can enhance our character. And by enhancing our character, it's not always going to be just a friendly all the time, because there's stresses in a family and there's stresses in a church. There just are. But working through stresses can be painful but beneficial in the long run if we are able to do it in a godly way. And sometimes, I mean, it's probably not possible to be best friends with every single person, but we at least don't need to have things in between us that are the elephant in the room. An elephant in the room. The reward of being pure in heart is that the pure in heart will see God. Revelations 22:1, he showed me, or declared unto me, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And earlier, at the end of Revelations 21 there, it says that there is no impurity that will come. Nothing that defileth or that maketh a lie or no iniquity. So the pure in heart shall see God. And the impure in heart will not see God. There's a song in, or I believe it's 464 in the church hymnal here, that I'd like to read in closing, and then I'll let the song leader lead that if he wants to. Excuse me. And this song was written from this verse, Matthew 5, verse 8. It says, "Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet. Guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do thy will most lovingly. Be thou my friend and guide. Let me with thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be, that I thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Reign thou my soul within. Pure in heart, help me to be." Let's have a song.